36. Psalm 36, after giving a graphic description of those who have no concern for God, the psalmist praises God's kindness to those who take refuge in him. And he prays that this kindness will continue. It's a pretty simple psalm. Verse 1, transgression speaks to the irreligious deep within the heart. God is watching him, but still he experiences no fear. A couple of traditional statements. The statement, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. God's words to Cain, personifying evil, of course, sin. Jesus, Mark 7:21, it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Some of us like to blame the devil. Some of us like to blame our parents. Some of us like to blame the government, I suppose. Some of us like to blame the nuns that taught us at school, or God knows, or the MSC preachers, yeah. But Jesus gives us all a very handy reminder. It's from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Romans 3:18. Is it a quote or an allusion? There's no fear of God before their eyes. God is watching him, but still he experiences no fear. Verse 2. He deceives himself that his guilt will not be discovered nor detested. His words are full of mischief and deceit. He refuses to be wise or to do good. He plots mischief while on his bed. Yes, he is set on a way that is bad. He does not regret evil. So that's a description of the rasha, the irreligious. And he goes on, he says, Yahweh, your kindness extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your justice is like the high mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. Yahweh, you save human beings and animals alike. How precious is your kindness, O God. People take refuge in the shade of your wings. An image that goes back to the book of Exodus and God as the mother eagle, but also goes back to the description of the temple where you've got the two cherubim. And under their wings is where God dwells, in that empty space, full of God, but empty physically, on the Kippur, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. So we're in there with God, being protected by the Mother God's wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, for you slake their thirst from the river of your delights. It's not bad. You slake their thirst from the river of your delights, for with you is the fount of life. And we remind of John chapter 7, verse 37, on the great feast of the New Year festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, where all the festivities are happening in the temple. And Jesus, on the other side of the stage, says, on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, let anyone who's thirsty come to me, not the temple. It's done its job. Come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink, as Scripture says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit. Jesus had not yet been glorified. Of course, the Spirit's everywhere. But the spirit he's talking about is the spirit of the risen Christ. And the spirit of the risen Christ, of course, can't be given till Christ is risen, obviously. Now, that text, scripture says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. The nearest text we can find is this one. It's not exactly a quotation, but they weren't fundamentalists. It's a very modern disease, fundamentalism. They got the point of what was said, so that truth is often said, but perhaps nowhere better than here in Psalm 36. They feast on the abundance of your house. You slake their thirst from the river of your delights. For with you is the fount of life, and in your light we see light. Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, continue your kindness to those who know you, your justice to the upright of heart. And I remind you of something I'm sure we've often said. No in the Bible has a very lovely, profound meaning. To know. In its original, Adam knew Eve and she conceived and they bore a son, Abel, and then Seth. To know means to know by intimate communion. It doesn't exclude the mind, of course. It doesn't exclude anything. But it includes a knowledge that comes through real communion. So those who know God are those who are in communion with God and know through kind of connatural communion. The way you know your own kids, perhaps, or the way you know someone you've lived with for a long time. You don't just know about them, you actually know them. Well, knowing God's the same idea. Don't let the foot of the arrogant tread on me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie prostrate, thrust down. They are unable to arise.